Good morning, Texas. Another cup of goodness this morning, program number 22, continuing in the study of prayer. Have you noticed that the cup of goodness that we talk about every morning, it's rather a large cup, isn't it? It's a huge cup. It's hard to talk about one tiny little item. And as we will see today, that we have a number of things that I could stop, and as I used to say, or maybe they still do in some of the churches, park here, brother. But anyway, we're just going to look at Paul's specific prayer requests that he mentions. Remember, he prays without ceasing for us? And what specific things does he pray for? And this ought to help us as parents, as friends, to somebody. This is what you want somebody else to have. These are the prayers that should be spoken. And I'm not talking about repeat after me or pray the prayer every day. Just get the gist on what it is that Paul's requesting God, who he has met face to face, for the Gentile people. And for those of you that have been following this website or this preacher or whatever, or the studies of the mystery of Christ through another person somewhere, the question then is asked, have any of these prayers been answered in your individual personal life? And if so, I would like to hear from you. I've got a page on the website where we have personal testimonies from people, and it's a rather lengthy page, so I would like to have you email me, susaman@bechtel.com. And if that doesn't make sense over the radio sound, then just go to the website and you can find my email address there. And write me your testimony. If any of these prayers that we're going to talk about here that Paul's requesting have come true in your life, feel free to write to me. And I'll put it on the website and let other people see that what we're doing is we are actually serving the living God. We, and a living God we hear from every day, a living God we can talk to every day. A living God is exactly that. He's living. He's risen Christ, and he is there for you every second of the day. He's in us. He's not going to leave us no matter what we do. He's not going to break fellowship with you. He's going to hear your prayers. We're going to grow up as a Christian, which is what Paul is all about, which we will talk about someday as well. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. So let's get on with it. There's a number of things that you can be praying for other people, and for yourself as well. So what we'll do is we'll read through the verses, and you can take notes if you'd like. We can summarize this at the end, and I think I'll make available on the website a page, which I know it's there, but I'll make another one, a more updated one, that you can find easily, that just lists the things that you can be praying for. And just ask yourself, are these the things that you've been praying for your kids? Are these the things that you pray for your wife, for your husband? Are these the things that you've been praying for yourself, for people you work with, people you just see out on the street when you hop on a train or a plane and you look at these people and you wonder about their eternal future? Are these the things? Or do you pray for a car, for a house, for to get out of debt, which I'm not going to say is a wrong thing, as you'll see, but it just seems to me that these are the things, these materialistic blessings that people expect from God is because they think they're doing a great job as a Christian. So their blessings will be blessed in return from God. And so these are the things that people pray for. And I'm not, that's not what I'm talking about here this morning. Not at all. We have our needs, no doubt. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says this, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us," et cetera, et cetera. So it's not that Christ can't provide things for us. It's just that we make an emphasis nowadays in modern Christianity that if you do good, God will bless you back. If you do bad, God will chastise you back. And the blessings that we want to pray for are materialistic, physical things that I, without a doubt, am sure that the devil can also answer those prayers and provide things that will keep us from worshiping and serving the living God in a proper scriptural manner that actually pleases him. So, let's get right into it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Here we go. That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that sound complicated? Just read it slowly and you'll see that those are his prayer requests. And everything, ye are enriched by him in all utterance, that's everything that you say, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Are you following the risen Savior? Is that your testimony? So that you become, that you come behind in no gift. And remember, now we're not looking at the Corinthians gifts, we're looking at Romans chapter 12 gifts, totally different. I guess as I think about it, we haven't talked about that, so I'm going to make note. We're going to have to talk about the gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his prayer request. So here's another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. I suppose I should talk sometime about the fact that as a Christian, we are going to suffer in this world, and we are partakers of the sufferings, although most people don't want to live the kind of life that would cause any kind of persecution or suffering, that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. To be consoled. I just see another bunny trail, another sermon there. Just leave it at that. That's just prayer request. He knows that we're going to partake of the sufferings, but he also wants to make sure that we also of the consolation. We'll talk about that in more detail someday. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. It's so hard for me not to just park on something and just talk about it and just go on and on for hours. But the website's there for people if they want to get into there and do some deep and long studies. I shouldn't say deep. They're not deep. They're just lengthy. Just scripture after scripture after scripture. It's just fantastic. Fantastic book. Anyway, back on the trail. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here we go now, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. There's a lot there. Just slow down and read Ephesians chapter 1, pick down to 16 to 20. And by the way, this prayer can be answered in your life by just reading, studying your rightly divided King James Bible. That's it. Now, after that statement, let me read these again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Where do you get the knowledge of him from? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? That is all within a King James Bible. Those prayers can be answered by you digging into your Bible. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, here we go now, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's Paul's prayers. That's what Paul's praying for his people. Did you notice this says here, and to know the love of Christ? Not just the love of God, but the love of Christ. Very specific. Want me to read that again? To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, a true scriptural love, not just a humanistic love, by the way, may be able to comprehend, to actually comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer request. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that, here we go, your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now that prayer request, if that prayer is going to be answered in your life is going to change. Let's do those again now. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. It isn't just a honey-do love. It isn't just a humanistic love everybody thing. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Wow. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might, here we go, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Some of these prayer requests are just not your normal, Lord, please help me get the car fixed. Lord, please help me, you know. And like I say, those are all things, but these are some quality prayer requests. This is what you want your children to get. This is what you want your husband or wife to get. This is what you want to receive. So we do that one again. Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Oh, marvelous. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently you in prayers. That's just one of the guys. That's one of Paul's crew there, you know. Epaphras, who is one of you, servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Is anybody out there a modern Epaphras? They call them prayer warriors in some churches, but I call them Epaphrases because they're laboring fervently in prayer. Here's what it is, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's just prayer request. That you may stand perfect, that doesn't just mean errorless, sinningless. It means that you're complete. And you get that from studying the Word of God more perfectly. That you may stand perfect and complete. See, it ties together, perfect and complete, in all the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So Paul was praying night and day that he would see his people, that he would run across, he would be able to talk to these people. He would see their face. That means they're there. My desire as a pastor when I was preaching in the state of Washington was for the people to be there. I didn't just write a sermon for specific people, but I knew as I was writing my sermons that there would be people that would hear this, they needed to hear this, and there's different folks in this. I knew this was going to be good for them to hear. For some cases, it was going to be hard for them to hear, but it was something I still wanted the people to hear. So I was just praying that they would be there. And you can't go to Hebrews about, you know, the doors are open, you need to be there. That's again, that's your tribulation application verse there. But yes, when the preacher's there to preach and to teach, it's to your benefit that you would be there, if, of course, he's preaching the mystery of Christ and a King James Bible all for you and just in the part that's there to you, etc., etc. Yes, it was exceedingly that we might see your face. Even now, as I've done the website for years since I've left the state of Washington, I pray that people would turn to the sermons, and they would listen to the sermons, and they would not just listen to them as they're vacuuming and washing dishes, you know, washing the car, whatever. They listen to them in a manner where they can pay attention. They can put it on pause even nowadays and think about something that was stated. Not because I said it, but because the scriptures say what they say. Do they take the time to really study and apply what they hear? That's seeing your face. And then I do mess with the internet, which we'll talk about church sometime, and that is the actual face-to-face value of talking with people and answering their questions that come up in a normal conversation. We have emails. Feel free to email me and write to me and talk to me. Send me your questions. Send me your concerns. Send me your challenges, whatever. And let's just get our faces together and let's talk about these things. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. And then look at the second half, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. See, we have the faith of Christ, but our faith can grow. Paul wanted to be with these people. He wants to be with us. That's your King James Bible, rightly divided that thing. Look at Paul's writings. Listen to my sermons, whatever that we have out here, these programs or whatever. Let's see if we can't take that faith of yours and where you're lacking. Let's see if we can't perfect that. Let's give it more complete. Let's get more of it. Let's grow in our faith. Our faith can still grow. So that was Paul's request, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Isn't that the way it is with our kids, especially if we're older? We sure like to see our kids. We sure like to help them in what's lacking in their faith. We do the same thing for what's lacking in their lives. How about what's lacking in their faith? But then you have to look at it the other side. Are there people out there that are willing to admit that they're lacking in their faith somewhere? Can they let a King James Bible perfect that which is lacking in their faith? Can they do that? Do you judge my speaking capabilities? Do you judge my pronunciations? Do you judge my, I guess, Midwestern accent compared to the Southern accent down there, the Texas accent? Do you judge me based on my background, my education? You know, all those kind of things. Or do you just let the scriptures speak to yourself without thinking about me? Are you willing to have your faith perfected? Grow in your faith? That was one of Paul's requests. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm doing a study right now. I'm trying to study this thing a little closer than I have usually in the past. Just remember that we are separated from our body. Our works still have to be judged. So from a physical standpoint, our body is not blameless. So before we get together with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we're going to have our body, our works judged. And what isn't any good, which doesn't please God, which was not proven acceptable unto the Lord, will burn, and what has proved acceptable unto him will remain in reward fashion, and then we can be considered blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more in that verse, and I'm just studying that a little bit. We'll talk about that at another time. But just note that there will come a time when our body, our works that we do, will also be considered blameless, and it has to before we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a prayer that Paul has for his people, for us. Fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, of God's goodness. And that's what we're preaching. That's what we're teaching here in these programs is God's goodness. So Paul's prayers, the risen Savior, would have us fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith. Not the work of the law, but the work of faith with power. We have the strength to maintain that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, let's look at this one here for today, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, not just the saved men, but all men, and you'll see here, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, that's America, a quiet and peaceable life. That's been America, sort of. But let's finish out this verse. We cannot leave out the rest of this verse. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, we've come to a time in our country, in our lifetime, to where if a person wants to lead a quiet and peaceable life, quite often, he's got to play along with the world, play along with all their technology and their toys and their attitudes and their spirits and their TV programs and their movies, and then they'll have a quiet and peaceable life because nobody will be bothering them. But the challenge is to have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Then you look at what Paul says, what the risen Savior teaches Paul to teach us, what it is that pleases God. So what we really are asking here is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life while we serve the living God, while we try to do what pleases God based on Timothy and Titus. We'll talk about that someday. That's the challenge. So that's why prayer becomes serious. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, don't forget that, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. And we just want them to allow us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's getting harder and harder every day. Just don't leave out the godliness and honesty. Not talking about following the law to the letter. Not talking about that. I'm just talking about what Paul teaches us to do in our day-to-day walk. Paul calls it his manner of life. And we will talk about that one of these days. To learn from Paul's manner of life. If we put those into our life, we just really need to pray hard that those that are in authority, that we are allowed, that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And if they don't allow that, while we are living amongst this world, within this world, that we, our personal selves, can still have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So now let's summarize, best I can here. These are the things that Paul prays for his people, which includes us. These are the things that we could also use to pray for ourselves and for our families, for our friends, for the people that we know. These are the things that are important. Here we go. I'm just going to read down a list here. In everything that we are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, that we come behind in no gift. We'll have to rightly divide the gifts, by the way, for sure. Be partaker of his sufferings and of the consolation. That God would give unto us the spirit of wisdom. God would give unto us the spirit of knowledge. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We would know what is the hope of his calling. To know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. To know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we are rooted and grounded in love, that we are able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, to be filled with all the fullness of God, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, that your love may abound yet more and more in all judgment, approve all things that are excellent, that we would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, be filled with the fruits of righteousness, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, to be fruitful in every good work, to increase in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, perfect and complete in the will of God, to see your face, perfect that which is lacking in your faith, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of God's goodness in your life, fulfill the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in you and you in Him, and that you would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Those are the prayers that were important to Paul. And then let's just remember one more time, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, that's the body of Christ, in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Those are Paul's prayer requests. I hope that they are your prayer requests. I hope that you take the time, hope that we would take the time to pray for these things and to be sincere about it. Pray for our families. Pray for each other. Pray for your pastor. Pray for me. Pray for the people that you know are searching for God and searching for the truth amongst God. Reminding yourself that you might be learning from this program that there is a false Christianity out there that is preparing everybody for the coming of the Antichrist, not for the coming of the real Christ. And that can be exposed through a King James Bible rightly divided by following what Paul teaches in your life, knowing that all those things that Paul teaches us were taught to him by the risen Savior.